From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope that listeners, all of you are fine. And today, you can also do your best, listeners. And listeners, for today's edition, I would like to continue 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrives at G7 Summit, welcomed by German Chancellor. Indonesian government is committed to improving protection, citizenship, and immigration services. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrived at the venue of the 48th G7 Summit in Schloss Elmau in Germany on Monday afternoon local time and was welcomed by German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. The summit is an annual gathering of G7 member countries consisting of the United States, Britain, Italy, Japan, Germany, Canada, and France. At the summit, he will urge G7 member countries to jointly seek peace in Ukraine and also find solution to the current food and energy crisis as quickly as possible. Furthermore, he also invited G7 members to invest in the clean energy sector in Indonesia, including the development of the electric car ecosystem. Indonesian Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona Halauli and his staff held a meeting with the Indonesian community and diaspora at the Consular Discussion Forum, Consular Talks Number 3 in San Francisco recently. The event, which was initiated by the Indonesian Consulate General in San Francisco in collaboration with the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, discussed the latest developments regarding the Indonesian government's regulations and policies on citizenship and immigration. According to a release from the Indonesian Consulate General in San Francisco received by Voice of Indonesia on Monday, on that occasion, Minister Yasona Lawli confirmed the Government Regulation No. 21 of 2022, or PP21, is enacted to show support from the Indonesian government in providing citizenship protection for mixed-marriage children between Indonesian citizens and foreign citizens.
Isu dui kewarganegaraan adalah merupakan isu yang
dual citizenship is an issue that we discuss here with the Indonesian diaspora and also about Indonesian children born in America and in countries that adhere to the principle of EU soli citizenship and also mixed marriage children. In the Indonesian law on citizenship, these children have the opportunity to choose citizenship until the age of 18 to 21. But many Indonesian children do not make that choice. Several years ago, there was a desire for concessions. So last May, the President issued Government Regulation No. 21 of 2022 to accommodate children from mixed marriages who did not make a choice at the age of 21 to choose Indonesian citizenship. Now it is possible for that. So this is a progress. Meanwhile, Director General of Legal and General Administration at the Ministry of Law and Human Rights, Cahyo Rahadian Muzhar, explained legal improvements such as through PP21 are in line with various efforts to attract various parties to come to Indonesia to make positive contribution to national development. PP21 is expected to encourage the Indonesian diaspora, including Indonesian children who are skilled and, of course, have a great love and want to contribute to Indonesia. We continue with the Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture that has proposed a budget worth 4.6 trillion rupiah sourced from the National Economic Recovery Funding for handling the foot and mouth disease outbreak in livestock. Secretary General of the Agriculture Ministry, Kasdi Subagiono, delivered the statement during a meeting with the House of Representatives on Monday. The figure included as many as 3.3 million vitamins and medicine, 312 kilograms of disinfectant, vaccination, and medicine support logistics. Now we move to the international news. Russian missiles struck a crowded shopping mall in central Ukraine on Monday, President Volodymyr Zelensky said. More than 1,000 people were inside when two Russian missiles slammed into the mall in the city of Kremenchuk, southeast of Kyiv, Zelensky wrote on Telegram. At least 13 people were killed and 50 injured, according to Ukrainian official. Next, we have the United States, which is planning to send Ukraine sophisticated anti-aircraft missiles to defend against Russian attacks, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said on Monday. Sullivan told reporters in Germany, where President Joe Biden was attending the G7 summit. He said additional aid being prepared due to urgent need also included artillery ammunition and counter-battery radar system, which are used to pinpoint the source of enemy artillery firing. Oil prices rose about 1% in early Asian trade on Tuesday after the United Arab Emirates energy minister said the nation is producing near capacity, countering expectation that it could help boost supply in a tight market. The United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia have been seen as the only two countries in the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries with spare capacity available to make up for lost Russian supply and weak output from other member nations. We end the news with at least 12 people who died and 251 were injured in a chlorine gas leak from a storage tank at Jordan's Aqaba port, officials and state media reported on Monday. The leak came after a tank filled with 25 tons of chlorine gas being exported to Djibouti fell while being transported. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Starting on Monday, President Joko Widodo attended the G7 summit, which is held at Elmau Palace in the Alps region, Bavaria, Germany. The G7 is a forum for developed and industrialized countries consisting of the United States, Germany, Italy, Japan, Canada, and France. Escorted by Reuters, Germany as the host of this year's G7 summit invited Indonesia, Senegal, Argentina, India, and South Africa as partner countries to the summit. President Joko Widodo sees this invitation to promote investment opportunities in the clean energy sector in Indonesia. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo on Monday while attending the G7 summit working lunch session with the topic of climate change, energy, and health. This is the information on the President RI.go.id page. President Joko Widodo also sees the trip to Europe to visit Ukraine and Russia, which are in conflict. Before leaving for Europe, he had informed that his visit to Ukraine and Russia were to encourage the two countries to open dialogue for peace. Some people may think that President Joko Widodo's visit to Ukraine and Russia will be in vain. This is because the big countries, which have the resources and power to source, have not been able to prevent Russia from continuing to attack Ukraine. Indeed, President Joko Widodo himself did not say that he was trying to reconcile the two countries. He wants to encourage the leaders of the two countries to open dialogue so that through dialogue, they themselves will seek peace. President Joko Widodo's efforts also need to be supported by all Indonesian people because there is a bigger interest, namely securing the food supply chain. The Russian-Ukrainian war has hampered food distribution, disrupted the economy, and made it difficult for developing and low-income countries to find food, plunging them into extreme poverty. Indonesia itself is still a developing country. If the war continues, Indonesia will also experience food shortage and economic collapse due to skyrocketing food prices. Hopefully, President Joko Widodo's efforts are followed by leaders of other developing countries so that all countries support the creation of Russia-Ukraine peace.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forco, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, oh. Yeah.
melangkahkan kakiku, tak berharap temukan cintamu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda waktu pertama ku melihatmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang kaku, akan kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku. Oh, yeah.
Kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu.
Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manis.
All started in history with June 28, 1914, when Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria and his wife Sophie were shot to death. Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie were shot dead by a Bosnian Serb nationalist during an official visit to the Bosnian capital Sarajevo on June 28, 1914. Archduke Franz Ferdinand is heir to the Austro-Hungarian throne. The assassination of Franz Ferdinand became one of the triggers for the outbreak of the First World War. We move on to June 28, 1944, when the Mandor Massacre in West Kalimantan occurred. The Mandor Massacre occurred on June 28, 1944 in the Mandor area, Landak Regency, West Kalimantan. The perpetrators were the Japanese Navy, who suspected a rebellion by scholars, civil servants, politicians, community leaders, religious leaders, to ordinary people from various ethnicities and religions. The killing took place between September 1943 and early 1944. According to available data, the number of victims of the Mandor Massacre reached more than 21,000 people. However, the Japanese rejected the statement and considered there were only 1,000 victims. I learned today in history with June 28, 1965, when the national newspaper Kompas was founded. Kompas Daily was founded by Petrus Canisius Ojong and Jacob Utama. Initially, the daily was proposed to be named Bentara Rakyat after the name of the foundation that published it. However, the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, proposed the name Kompas, which means direction. Kompas Daily was first published in Jakarta on June 28, 1965.
Kau temaniku berlari, antarkanku untuk menggapai hati.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello, VOI listener. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. Listener, on last June 24th, Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno, visited Puri Melayu Sri Menanti Traditional House in Tebing Tinggi City, North Sumatra. According to Sandiaga Uno, this traditional house has a cultural and historical tourist attraction. In addition, it has storynomics, namely, a story that can open up business opportunities. He also hopes that the awareness of the local community in preserving culture and managing the Sri Menanti Malay Traditional House will be higher. Puri Melayu Sri Menanti Traditional House is located in Tebing Tinggi City, North Sumatra Province. The distance is about 63 kilometers or almost an hour's drive from Kuala Namu International Airport. This tilt house was founded in 1910 by Muhammad Nur and Siti Rahma. In 1992, the building of this traditional house was restored by Hashim Nur Taib and Zaleha Rangkuti. Then, in 2000, the traditional house was restored again by the Al Hashimiyah Foundation. The house, which is mainly made of wood, is also used as a studio for traditional dance, Malay martial art, and the weaving of songket woven cloth. Puri Melayu Sri Menanti was formerly used as a place for families together. This is reflected in the name, which means a house that always awaits the arrival of a large family. Puri Melayu Sri Menanti has downstairs and upstairs. On the lower floor, there is an area for weaving Malay songket and relaxing, while on the upper floor there is a living room containing a Malay pelaminan or dais on which the bridal couple sits. There is also a family room containing relics of brass equipment for traditional Malay ceremonies. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Bisa kembali, tapi waktu tak berhenti. Seharusnya kita berdiri, hadapi seadanya, coba berpikir dan pahami. Awal.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, which introduces Indonesian expressions and vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Language Development and Development Agency, Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Our topic today is membeli obat di apotek or buying medicine at the pharmacy. Next, I'm going to present a conversation entitled Apotek di Belakang Hotel. Apotek di Belakang Hotel, which means pharmacy behind the hotel. This conversation takes place between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and the receptionist. Dev asks the receptionist the location of the pharmacy, and the receptionist shows the location. Let's listen to their conversation.
Apakah ada apotek di sekitar hotel?
Ada, Pak. Apotek di belakang hotel.
After listening to the conversation, I will give phrases and vocabulary related to today's topic. Apotek di belakang hotel. Apotek di belakang hotel, which means pharmacy behind the hotel. I will say the word slowly twice and you can repeat after me. Apotek. Apotek, which means apothecary or pharmacy. Di belakang hotel. Di belakang hotel, which means behind the hotel. Apotek di belakang hotel. Apotek di belakang hotel, which means the pharmacy behind the hotel. In the conversation, you heard the phrase apotek di belakang hotel. Apotek di belakang hotel, which means pharmacy behind the hotel. In that sentence, there is an expression di belakang, which means behind. In the expression di belakang, which means behind, there is a preposition di, which means at, used to indicate the location of something or someone. In that utterance, to show depth the location of the pharmacy, the preposition D, which means at, is followed by the word indicating the location. In this case, belakang, which means behind. Other examples. To indicate the location of something, you can also use other expressions such as di samping, which means beside, and di depan, which means in front of. Let's listen to other examples to indicate the location of something. Di samping, which means next to. Restoran di samping kolam renang, which means restaurant beside the pool. Di depan, which means in front of. Mall berada di depan hotel, which means the mall is in front of this hotel. The word apotek, which means pharmacy or apothecary, is taken from the Dutch language apotheek, which means a place to sell, make or mix drugs or medicine. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example conversation once again.
Apakah ada apotek di sekitar hotel?
Ada, Pak. Apotek di belakang hotel.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian with the title Apotek di Belakang Hotel. Apotek di Belakang Hotel, which means pharmacy behind the hotel. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We will meet again tomorrow with a different title. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Aku.
maafkan aku terlanjur mencinta. Ternyata hati tak sanggup melupa.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku を着用して COVID-19 の感染拡大を防ぎましょう。私のマスクはあなたを守る。あなたのマスクは私を守ってくれる。
وقو انتقال فيروس COVID-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
让正确佩戴口罩以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Zapin Wasiat by Nur Hayati. Wasiat, which means will, is the last message that is delivered before someone dies. But the wills in the song Zapin Wasiat are messages in the form of life advice. One of the advices given is that life is not only about chasing wealth, because wealth can make people perish. Interestingly, the song created by Mufti Edam contains advice which is delivered while singing, so it doesn't seem patronizing. Well, listener, here is Malay song entitled Zapin Wasiat by Nur Hayati. Happy listening!
Tidak ada berada, takkan tempuh kesadaran.
adanya gula, adanya semut, matinya semut karena manisan. Ku ibarat hidup di dunia jadi binasa karena harta. Itu ibarat hidup di dunia jadi binasa karena harta. Inilah zapin.
Of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id. Thank you.